Right, our next presentation is by Anne Horton. The Master and the Myth, Michelangelo's Mythological Drawings of the Rape of Ganymede, the Punishment of Titius and the Fall of Phaeton, for Tommaso de Cavalieri. Thank you.
Hi. I think probably most of us think that it's all been said about Michelangelo, but I'm hoping that my thesis will prove that that's not quite the case. That's fine, just leave it like that. Okay. For many during the Italian Renaissance, admiration of classical antiquity and its way of life implied that ancient myths could be used as a paradigmatic narrative currency transmitted across time. A revival of interest in a sensuous and sensual world where pagan deities indulged in cruelty, mischief, and promiscuity existed, sometimes uneasily, alongside the official symbols and doctrines of the church. Thus, images depicting love and its consequences became popular subjects, handily couched under the mythological rubric of paganism, at a time when the imagining and enacting of physical desire was vehemently criticized by the church. Relationships between men were one of the many facets that composed the fabric of male sexual experience at this time. So mythological tales of illicit but divine love were rich in topical significance. Today's paper will explore the ways in which myths from Ovid's Metamorphoses were transformed into a very personable parable about carnal desire and its perceived consequences by one of, if not the, period's most eminent artistic giants, Michelangelo Buonarroti. In the summer of 1532, Michelangelo met and became infatuated with a young Roman nobleman called Tommaso de Cavalieri, who was 30 years his junior. Along with 100 letters and poems, Michelangelo presented his friend with three drawings, which he created during the first 18 months of their relationship. The images that lay at the core of today's session, which considers Michelangelo's use of mythology to convey the moral implications of his love for Tommaso, are The Rape of Ganymede, The Punishment of Titius, and The Fall of Phaeton. The critical arguments to follow will contend that these drawings should be viewed as three distinct acts of drama, represented in the inevitable succession as edifying allegories of the moral disparity between spiritual aspiration and the cause, effect, and consequence of carnal fulfillment. I will also explore Michelangelo's combination of sensuality, inhibition, and morality to consider how he uses mythology to express his own state of flux between the allure of forbidden desire and the fear of realizing it. A few interesting facts make these drawings unique. These were not preparatory drawings or cartoons, and they are so ambitious and finished that we can assume they were intended to be appreciated as completed works in their own right. They are Michelangelo's only works intended as gifts based upon pagan mythological subject matter, and therefore deliberately exempt from the normal economy of art production of the period. These were not intended as crowd pleasers, responding to religious or political ideological agendas, but intimate expressions of Michelangelo's innermost feelings, created to be beholden by his beloved friend's eyes alone. The very intimate nature and autobiographical complexion of these works, along with the didactic lessons they uphold, make them remarkable, because unlike works made under commission for a client's demands, these singular and secret gifts for Tommaso were actuated by love. I must stress, though, that my goal is not to resolve the matter of whether Michelangelo's love for Tommaso was ever physically consummated. Instead, I intend to pay close attention to the moral, biographical, and allegorical rhetoric of the drawings themselves, and to consider how these individual works present a readable continuum of events in the form of what we might call a mythological triptych. First is the Ganymede, depicting causal mystic union and uplifting rapture. Second, in chronological sequence, is Titius, symbolizing the tortuous, enslaving effect of the misery which guilty desire may generate. Third is the complex and sophisticated Phaeton, demonstrating the ultimate consequence of such cause and effect. By taking a closer look at these very intimate drawings, we can examine how mythology is applied in Michelangelo's art to offer a especially telling insight into his torment over the consequences of perceived lustful sin, retribution, and lamentation. This trilogy of fatal evolution, where every element of each composition is determined by the preceding one and determines the next to follow, begins with the rape of Ganymede. Ganymede was the shepherd boy of such beauty that Jupiter fell in love with him and, in the guise of an eagle, then carried him off to Olympus to become cupbearer to the gods. This drawing was executed in late 1532, shortly after Michelangelo met Tommaso in Rome. Past scholarship has tended to see Ganymede as a celebration of the purity of love between men, and the depiction of the ecstasy of sacred love, where physical bondage is left behind and the soul is carried to heavenly delight. Ganymede, they claim, is merely a benign allegory of spiritual ascent, where the young shepherd boy is lifted up as if to symbolize the soul's spiritual aspirations of union with and contemplation of God. I believe, however, that a 21st century purview should recognize that there are many hidden layers of meaning in Ganymede, and acknowledge that Michelangelo's physical and emotional desires are fundamental to an understanding of his art. Ovid's subject is homoerotic in content, but Michelangelo also depicts his Ganymede homoerotically charged in expression. Libidinous intent is intensified by the way in which Jupiter enjoys the fulfillment of his desire as he carries off his beloved Ganymede, not just merely in a literal flight to the heavens, but also in a figurative apotheosis of ecstasy. Michelangelo's Ganymede shares Jupiter's pleasure in the act with no sign of fear as he's caught in the moment of uniting rapturous climax. In accordance with contemporary behavioral codes relating to sexual activity between males at this time, Jupiter is clearly the dominant partner. This is an intimate moment when the two figures are entirely concerned with each other as ecstasy carries them heavenward. Their extension emphasizes Ganymede's withdrawal from human contact, while earthly duty, represented by the dog left tending the sheep, which is very faint here at the bottom, is left behind. It is my contention that Ganymede crystallizes Michelangelo's internal conflict, but transgresses the boundaries between duty and desire, but moreover, that it should be considered with the companion drawings of Titius and Phaeton in mind. Here is Titius being punished for the attempted rape of Latona, who was Jupiter's lover and the mother of Apollo. Titius's allusion to punishment for unwelcome and unsuccessful seduction is unequivocal. Michelangelo's visual commentary in this drawing, along with the accompanying sonnets he composed for about his consuming passion for Tommaso, not address alternative potential meanings in his Titius. It is my opinion that the didactic intent of Titius serves as a warning of the misery which guilty desire may generate. Michelangelo juxtaposes Titius against his first saw of elation and ascent, so sensitively captured in Ganymede, with a potent expression of tortuous guilt and anguish, which he renders of the insatiable vulture feeding violently on his ever-renewing liver for eternity. A recumbent Titius is depicted tethered to Tartius, the abyss in the underworld, even lower than Hades, where souls were judged after death and received punishment. The torment of Titius's everlasting consumption by the vulture can be seen as crystallizing Michelangelo's fears of his soul being devoured by forbidden desire and his internal battle to sate his own emptiness. The typically sensual and erotically charged nature of Titius's idealized body and the way his outstretched curved form is mirrored by the span of the vulture's outstretched wings show tormentor as if in dialogue. Within the tree trunk, a screaming face alludes to the imprisoned souls of the damned, who also suffer eternal horror and anguish. You see here? With all its implied attendant suffering, Titius invokes the agonizing effect of illicit physical attraction and its potential for rejection and punishment. Titius, the defensive slave of illicit passion, becomes the visual embodiment of Michelangelo's subjection to Tommaso and symbolizes the torment of a lust which enslaves and corrupts the soul. The themes of sexual intercourse and bird physiology are common to both the Ganymede and Titius. And Michelangelo freezes in time the moments of ecstasy and agony he associates with overwhelming physical attraction. Ganymede represents for Michelangelo the mystic union and rapture of loving one as beautiful as Tommaso. Titius represents a sensual, profane passion that feeds upon itself but can never be satisfied. A moral warning, the one who succumbs to fervent lust will suffer the torturous effects of having his soul dragged down to the underworld. This evocative image with its powerful psychological intensity portrays the second stage in a readable continuum of cause and effect, which culminates with the fall of Phaeton as the ultimate portent of fateful consequence. Ovid's Phaeton is the recalcitrant son of Apollo, who begs his father to allow him to drive the sun chariot for the day. But when he lost control, the chariot careered off course, setting fire to heaven and earth. To prevent the destruction of the universe, Jupiter slew the youth with a bolt of lightning. Phaeton plummeted into the river Eridanos, where the three sibling Heliads, who had harnessed the horses, were turned into poplars as punishment. The cause of Phaeton's fate is his presumption that he could drive too close to the sun. I contend that it was Michelangelo's burning desire for Tommaso, who in the artist's own poetic words, sets aflame my heart so that in the hot sun I should renew myself through fire, in which my whole body burns, that was the cause of such emotional and psychological turmoil. The tumultuous effect of instability and upheaval is captured by Michelangelo's dramatic ejection from the chariot that metaphorically represents the safe vehicle of sacred celibate love that has transported him so far on his journey. Michelangelo renders Phaeton, the ignoble perpetrator, in a manner devoid of all sense of heroization or triumphalism. Instead, Phaeton is ignobly depicted as if turning his back, or even his backside, to God, and plunging like Lucifer to a level beneath mankind's assigned position. Hurled into a dynamic, orgiastic melee, where his human inverted form becomes almost indiscernible from that of the horses hurtling downward with him, Phaeton becomes the personification of both animality and mortality as he writhes amongst the beasts that will share his fate. Divine judgment by paternal authority for forbidden behavior resonates throughout this chaotic scene of fatality and punishment. In the register below, collateral damage caused by retribution and death predominate. Here, the river god has an expression of resignation and sadness. As a consequence of Phaethon's action, the waters necessary to fertilize nature and sustain humankind will dry up. Here, all fecundite potential is thrown into desperate peril, and Michelangelo gives each heliad an empty amphora as if to signify their barren wombs. But in all this powerful, dramatic narrative of catastrophic retribution, there is one aspect which captures most cogently the didactic function of not only the Phaethon, but also all three of the drawings as an allegorical trilogy. Michelangelo's moralistic thought can surely be found in the compositional strategy he adopts when, starting at the apex in all this dramatic action, follows the form of the very thunderbolt sent as punishment by the divine force above. If we follow this compositional path downward, our eye comes to rest upon the last figure of the heliad in the lower corner. Here, the heliad closest to the picture plane is placed as if reaching out to make a connection with the beholder. She is about to flee, but at the same time is frozen as if mesmerized by the impending annihilation. With arms outstretched in the shape of a crucifix and head turned heavenward, she invokes a poignant reminder of Christ's sacrifice in order to obtain mankind's salvation. In one final, unequivocal gesture that drives home the moral dictates of his religion and society, the potent Christological reference is, to my mind, a persuasive signifier of the central importance Michelangelo ascribed to morality in his art. Thank you.